Welcome to the Apple Insider Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. I'm Charles Martin, and we begin today with WWDC specifics. Apple has finally published a schedule of essential events for its Worldwide Developer Conference, including the time of the much-anticipated keynote. It will be held, as usual, at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on June 5th, and be viewable through Apple's website, the Apple Developer app, the Apple TV app, and on YouTube. The company is expected to make some major announcements during the keynote, including introducing the as-yet-unnamed Apple AR/VR headset, alongside expected rundowns of new features and changes in this fall's iOS 17 and macOS 14 releases. There may also be some product announcements of M2 updates for Macs and iPads that don't yet have it, and possibly news about the expected M3 chip destined for future Macs and the iPad Pro line. Following the keynote at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, will be another key address aimed more at the developers who make up the core audience of the event, the platform's State of the Union, which will go into more detail about new technologies coming in hardware and software. This address can be viewed on the Apple Developer app or developer website. Wrapping up the first day at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, will be the Apple Design Awards, honoring apps and services of note with a special evening activity afterwards. The conference in total will include 175 in-depth sessions, with most session videos made available on the developer app for those who cannot be at the event in person. Apple today also announced a multi-year, multi-billion dollar deal with Broadcom to produce 5G components to be used in its products. This renews and extends a partnership Apple has had with Broadcom for decades and is part of Apple's 2021 commitment to invest $430 billion in U.S.-based data centers, operations, and suppliers. For its part, Broadcom said the deal will allow it to invest in critical automation projects and upskilling with technicians and engineers. It's unclear what role this might play in the long-held belief that Apple will eventually produce its own 5G modem for its cellular-capable products, but it seems likely that Broadcom components will be included in any new 5G technology Apple produces. Earlier this month, Apple issued a surprise but welcome announcement that it was bringing full-featured versions of Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro to its latest iPads. On Tuesday, Apple started making the programs available from the App Store. Early reviews have suggested that there are some omissions in the iPad version compared to the Mac version, but also features not possible on the Mac, such as Apple Pencil editing support and touch controls. But more crossover between the Mac and iPad versions is probably in development for future updates. The iPad version of Final Cut Pro works with all M1-based or later iPads running iPadOS 16.4 or higher, while the audio program Logic Pro can run on iPads using the A12 Bionic chip or later. Each of the two programs uses a subscription model rather than a, quote, permanent, unquote, license, as the Mac versions have. The cost for each is $5 per month or $49 per year, though there is a one-month free trial available. In related news, Apple on Tuesday also updated the Mac versions of Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro to support importing projects started on the iPad versions. Final Cut Pro is now at version 10.6.6, while Logic Pro is now at version 10.7.8, and both have some additional improvements not related to the iPad versions. In addition, Motion has been updated to version 5.6.4, with many of the same improvements as Final Cut Pro, and Compressor for Mac has been updated to version 4.6.4, with automatic center cropping of video while retaining the original height, and automatic labeling of surround channels when configuring a batch using the command line. The updates for the Mac versions are all free of charge. In other news, the recent update to watchOS 9.5 appears to have an odd but minor bug that is causing some Apple Watches to acquire a grayish or greenish tint in the display in some situations, such as accessing the Control Center or Notification Center. Apple Insider staffers have seen reports of it affecting the Apple Watch Series 8, Series 7, and SE models, but it may also affect other models. There's no word yet from Apple about the issue, as the company is likely still researching reports from users to identify the problem. In other tech news, Netflix has begun bringing its crackdown on password sharing to the U.S. Users who are sharing their account passwords with people who don't live at the same address will receive an email from the company. Only account holders on a standard or premium plan can share Netflix with someone who doesn't live with them, and it will cost them an extra $8 per month. Those who are currently using a shared password can also transfer their profile to their own new membership that they pay for, so as not to lose the preferences and lists saved in the previously shared profile. Extra members cannot be added to third-party billed accounts, Netflix-included packages, or ad-supported plans. Speaking of streaming services, the service formerly called HBO Max and now just plain Max is still having some issues when used on Apple TV hardware boxes. In addition to not supporting frame rate match or dynamic range, it also doesn't yet support a host of other Apple TV features, such as reduced loud sounds, dim flashing lights, picture-in-picture, universal audio and subtitle preferences, and most importantly, the Up Next feature. The app has been having these issues since June of 2021, when the then HBO Max app removed support for the native video player used by Apple TV hardware. The Max service costs between $10 and $20 per month, depending on how many ads you want to suffer through, and whether you really need 4K content for your 4K television. We'd recommend you wait until Warner Brothers and Discovery, the owners of Max, get the memo and fix the app. Finally for today, a disturbing report from the Surgeon General of the United States. Dr. Vivek Murthy has issued a public advisory finding that social media use harms the mental health of children and is urging both parents and the companies behind social media sites to enforce age restrictions and set up other protections to discourage prolonged engagement from children under 13 as well as teenagers. A recent survey has found that 46% of teens aged 13 to 17 say social media has had a negative impact on their body image. It is also estimated that 40% of U.S. children between the ages of 8 and 12 have a social media account, despite unenforced rules that require a minimum age of 13. You can hear more news and analysis from Apple Insider on the weekly Apple Insider podcast every Friday, as well as our HomeKit Insider podcast that's out every Monday. Links to both shows are in the notes for this one. If you'd like to support the Apple Insider Daily podcast, we are now accepting sponsorships. Reach out to me at charles_martin@appleinsider.com and we'll get in touch. Thank you for listening. I'm Charles Martin, and this has been the Apple Insider Daily podcast for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023.